Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
For many people, Christmas has become a time of stress and excess and often a financial mess. Hello. But hopefully you'll get a bit of rest in front of the TV with your belly full. Huh? Christmas, random Christmas TV programs, someone else hopefully doing the washing up. Generally the person that ain't cooked. That's why I help out with the cooking. That's why I learned to cook, because I hate washing up. Huh? Sit down after dinner, film on TV, random program, belly full of rich food, but some people have a belly full of strong drink. And that seems to be a normal Christmas for most in this land, even Christians. But some, though, it can be a time of loneliness. It can be about absent family members or none. It can be about no cash to buy presents. No rich food. Just get it over as quick as possible. I don't know if anyone else is in here, but I remember many Christmases like that when I was a drug addict. Horrible, empty, feeling cut off from everyone around me. Just there trying to get by. I remember running out of drugs on Christmas Day and praying that Santa would come and deliver me a little present. Having to go out on a mission on Christmas Day to try and get my drugs. Horrible. And you feel like a bit like one of them movies where you see a poor, miserable kid outside a warm shop on a freezing cold day, looking at all the happy kids getting gifts and laughing happily and eating hot food and cakes. And he's outside just looking in the window, licking it from time to time. Nightmare. And that's life, man. It can be good one minute and bad the next. When it's good, it don't last. When it's bad, it seems to last forever. What's it all about? And when you really look at things, it can be quite empty. You just trudge along the road trying to get us. I'm getting all grinchy on the thing right now. Huh? Everyone's like, man, this is all grinchy on the thing. He's getting all grinchy about Christmas, but I'm talking about reality. We have to be real. Before you can ever see change, you have to face reality. And for many people, the reality of this season is not the magical thing that's portrayed. But is there hope in it? This is the key. Huh? It often seems that Christmas highlights everything. It magnifies, highlights, and it just condenses every single emotion that you go through the year. There's hope, there's joy, there's peace, there's pain, there's this, there's that, there's the other thing. But what can we do about it? When I was down and out, I even used to think that some of the Christmas songs were sung in a way that they weren't actually sung. I even used to get the Christmas songs wrong. Not only did I get the season wrong, I got the Christmas songs wrong. I thought I was right. How many of you have ever done that? Huh? I used to think that Rudolph was messed up because of the reindeer called Olive. Everyone used to look at me, what are you talking about? I'd say, yeah, Olive, man, messed up Rudolph's life. There's always an Olive in someone's life, about a humbug. I said, shut up, what are you talking about, Olive? And I used to say, it's in the song. Olive, the other reindeer, used to laugh and call him names. That's what it says. Olive, the other reindeer. Don't tell me you've never got some Christmas words mixed up. What about Santa Claus is coming to town? Huh? You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. And you used to hear it, right? He's making a list. Chicken and rice. I was like, chicken and rice? And then there was that bit that used to freak me out. He sees you when you're sleeping. I'm like, what? Stop it, man. That's weird and scary. Big fat bloke looking at you while you're asleep. No. And I used to get it wrong, man. I it was so beautiful, then it became so difficult, and then I was getting it wrong, and then it was all mad and mangled. But is that what Christmas is all about? Huh? See, most people have been brainwashed by a godless society into thinking that everything about Christmas is a fairy story, a myth, an old story about some people that maybe or maybe not lived thousands of years ago. Maybe this Jesus, this Nazarene, maybe this, you know, this thing, baby Jesus, born on Christmas Day. And everyone knows he weren't born on Christmas Day. But the key is this. It's understanding that the church doesn't celebrate the date of Jesus' birth. It celebrates the fact of Jesus' birth. But there's this myth. And then there's this, you know, all of the stories and all of the things that are added on. But what about if it was all true? What if it was all true? What if there were people with pointed ears living in the North Pole? Wrapping you... No. What if the other story is true? What if God is real and he chose to become a human for a while? So that he could add another different path to your life. What about if that bit's true? What if Jesus truly was God in the flesh, born just like it had been predicted thousands of years before his virgin mother gave birth to him? What if the angels really appeared and proclaimed the birth of the sacrificial Savior and the shepherds really witnessed it? And what if the wise men, the astronomers, really they were like scientists of their day? What about if they truly worked out who Jesus was when he was due to be born, who he was meant to be, and then they came and they looked for him? What if that was true? Because if it was true that whoever believed in Jesus and trusted in him because their minds had changed about the stories that they'd been told, if this was true, that they could have a new life and a new understanding about life. If it was true, would you change your mind? Would you think things differently? What about if God had a perfect plan for your life? And if his perfect plan for your life could be seen and could be known and could be lived out, how would that affect the rest of your life? What if it was true? Because if it was true, if this gift that God gave was unwrapped and looked at and valued, then that changes everything. That means that your tomorrow don't have to be like your yesterday. That means that this Christmas don't have to be like some of the other Christmases that you've had that were negative and painful. This Christmas could change forevermore in your mentality and your life. And that means that your life can change. Don't matter if you've got a lot, it don't matter if you've got a little. It don't matter if people are with you or people are not with you. It matters that if Jesus is who he says he is, and he did what it was said that he was going to do, then everything was going to change, and that means that your life can be exactly the way that God wanted it to be. Imagine that. That's powerful. When you change your mind about Jesus, you begin to trust him, something changes inside. Something's unlocked. And a main piece of a puzzle that is life is revealed. And if that happens, that means that this can be the best Christmas ever, man. Because this is the one piece of, when this one piece of the puzzle of life is put in place, you can see the whole picture clearly, and then you can flow in the rhythms of grace that God the Creator set down. When that happens, check this out, you become bulletproof. When that piece of the puzzle comes into play, that you understand that it don't matter what happens, God has a perfect plan for your life, you become indestructible. It don't matter whether you've got a lot or whether you've got a little. It don't matter who says this and who don't say that. Whether you get this or don't get that, it does not matter. There can be a time in your life, an understanding in your life that you're bulletproof, you're indestructible, that God has a perfect plan for your life. It's going to work out.
heavy.
The Bible gives us everything we need to make sure we can have the opportunity to live a life filled with dignity, belonging, and destiny. We're not promised it's going to be an easy life, but we are promised that we won't have to go through it alone and uncertain about our identity and our ultimate destination. This is key. This is going to take you through every season of your life, and it begins if this is true. Are you with me? This rhythm, this pattern of reality can be understood when we get to grips with some key facts about the birth of Jesus. If you don't get these key facts about the birth of Jesus, if there's uncertainty around the birth of Jesus, then the rest of it falls out of line, it don't work. But once this thing is keyed in, everything else is released. So I want us to understand this rhythm, the pattern of reality. I want us to take a few moments to look at some key questions. Are you with me? Where, how, and why was Jesus born? As we've already said, the when's irrelevant, man. We know he weren't born on December the 25th. Huh? It don't matter. It's not meant to be about the date of his birth, but the fact of his birth. So where was Jesus born? This is key. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Get ready for this. This is good stuff. I'm going to run through this real quick. It's going to lay down some evidence that when you get these things put in place, you're going to go, wow, the plan of God is amazing. Where I'm at might not be that bad. Where I'm at in my life, it might actually be the place that God wants me to be, and I might be surrounded with the people he wants me to be surrounded by, because his plan is going to be played out in my life. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Tells us where Jesus was born. It says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So it gives us a timeline. It says, all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. Because Joseph, this is important, was a descendant of King David, so was Mary. He had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. This links Jesus with the kingship. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth, laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Whenever we see nativity plays, we see the kids do it last week, we see it on TV, we see Mary and Joseph on their little donkey, and all that. So they're there, they're going along. One of Mum's tea towels is round Joseph's head. Mary's got a cushion up her top. They go there, they knock on the door. Have we got anywhere to come in? My wife's pregnant. There's no room in here. Can we come in? My wife, she's about to give birth. There's no room at the inn. You must go somewhere else. And everyone's like, oh, poor little Jesus. Poor Mary. Oh, my goodness. And then someone says, there's a stable. Go to the stable. There's a manger. Right? And we listen to all this and we go, and in our hearts, if you've been like me, you'll go, oh, poor Mary and Joseph. There was no room at the inn. How bad that. You know, how dark, how deep, oh, poor little thing. And then we, you know, people do all these modern takes on it where they're homeless and they're this and they're that. What about if it was part of God's plan? Huh? Boo, poor Jesus. But what about if it was part of God's plan? The prophet Micah chapter 4, verse 8, says this. He says, and you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you it shall come, even the form and dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. The tower of the flock. Micah 5:2 says this. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. Now these prophecies, watch this, this is key, were written 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And what they do is they actually eliminate every other place in the world that the Savior could be born. They identify the exact place where the Savior must be born. He couldn't be born in Liverpool because they couldn't find three wise men. And I'm not saying why I weren't born in Salford. Had to be Bethlehem. Huh? One tiny village near Jerusalem was the only place where the Savior could be born. But then watch this. Also, he had to be born in this place called the Tower of the Flock. What is the Tower of the Flock? One commentator, Alfred Edersheim, he notes this. It was called in Hebrew, it was called the Migdal Eder. Alfred Edersheim, who was a Messianic Jewish commentator, he says, this watchtower from ancient times was used by the shepherds for protection from their enemies and wild beasts. It was the place where ewes were brought to give birth to lambs. Check this out. In this sheltered building or cave, the priests would bring in the ewes which were about to give birth. A ewe, by the way, is a female sheep, if you didn't know. A male sheep is called Mark or Colin. And check this out. Watch this. We know where it is. Where is it? Bethlehem. We know that surrounding Bethlehem, there were shepherds and there were sheep. This is why the sheep came to this place to give birth. But these sheep around Bethlehem were from a special flock. It was the royal flock. And only lambs from this flock could be used as sacrifices at Passover in Jerusalem. The shepherds were a special group of shepherds. Their one job was to raise lambs that were to be sacrificed. They were under special rabbinical care. They had to remain strictly ceremonial, and they had to have a strictly ceremonially clean place for the lambs to be born, the Migdal Eder. The Tower of the Flock was where they would come and they would give birth to the sacrificial lambs. And it was to this place that Joseph took Mary to the Migdal Eder. When we continue on our bit of scripture, it shows us what happened after Mary and Joseph got to where they had to be to fulfill the prophecy. It would have been nice and comfortable to be in an inn, Holiday Inn. Holiday Inn Express, Bethlehem. Huh? Premier Inn, Lowry, Bethlehem, 5-star place. Nice little suite, ensuite for Mary, a birthing room. But all those doors were shut. Sometimes doors get shut in your life and you're like, ugh. But he had to come to this place. This was where Joseph brought Mary. Watch what happens in Luke chapter 2. Verse 8 says, that night there were shepherds standing in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. You know the song, while shepherds washed their socks by night or seated round a tub. The angel of the Lord came down and they began to scrub. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them while they were scrubbing their socks. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Why would they recognize him? Two reasons. Number one, they were trained to recognize lambs without spot or blemish that could be used as sacrifices for the sins of all the people. And the way that when they'd identified those lambs, they would separate them from the other lambs and they would wrap them in swaddling cloth and they would put them to one side. So, here we are, the angel speaks to the shepherds, and then suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. Now, you have to understand, when he's talking about these, the distances are, it's like from here to Salford Precinct. It's like from here to Sainsbury's. It's not far. They were in the fields. But the place where the birthing, why didn't he tell them where to go? He didn't say, you must go. It's not like the angelic sat-nav. Huh? Google Maps. You must go up here and turn left at the field with the block of stone. No. He just told them how they would recognize him. He didn't tell them where to go because they already knew. Because that's the place that the lambs were born. So when they went there, they said, let's go and check it out. Let's see if this thing has happened. They hurried to the village. They found Mary and Joseph. Of course they found him. They knew where they were meant to be. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what happened, what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. They were witnesses of the birth of the Lamb of God, the Messiah. It had to be them. It had to be there. Are you with me? It was just as the angel had told them. How perfect is God's plan? Even when we think that doors are being shut, that job, oh, I didn't get that job. Oh, I didn't get that. Oh, I couldn't move to that place. Oh, I couldn't do this. Oh, I couldn't do that. It might be that God's shutting the doors of places that he don't want you to be because they're the places that you would have chosen, but God loves you too much to let you go into places that he does not want you to be in because there is a perfect place for you to be because that's where his plan and you are going to meet up and then boom. And when you're in the perfect place, people recognize it because they know what it is they're meant to be looking for. Huh? These were the experts. They were the perfect people as well. Not only was the place perfect, but the people around them were perfect because they were the experts in identifying the lambs. And they had no hesitation in recognizing the baby Jesus as the Lamb of God who had come to take away the sins of the world. So that was where he was born. But how was he born? We've seen where Jesus was born, the perfection of the place. But when we read the backstory, we see how he was born and how important that was as well. Are you still with me? Yeah. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married. Before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. We know the rest. Joseph, don't know what's happening. You wouldn't, would you? Imagine your fiance comes up to you and says, I'm pregnant. What? But I haven't been with you. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit. Shut up. What? You'd never take that, right? Shut up. Miraculous birth. Huh? But then the angel appeared to him, told him in a dream, this is what's going to happen. Are you with me? He got it. Wow, okay. So he went with it. Praise God for Joseph, man. All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is the Savior. And his birth was unique, watch this, because he didn't have a human father, right? Why? The power of the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. She was a virgin. Life was created in her womb. It goes back to the first ever human, Adam. Adam had been created in a similar way from the very essence and elements of the world. He was created from dust. And the Creator God was his father, breathed life into him. Adam, the first human, came about as a unique, perfect being, operating at full capacity of mentality, shining and glowing in glory, living forever, not doomed to die when he was created. And when he was created, he didn't have any human father except, but he had God as his father. But then what happened? We know what happened with Adam. Huh? Adam disobeyed the commandments of God. God told him, look, I'm walking with you in the evening. I'm giving you direction. I'm giving you instruction. It's encoded in your DNA what I want you to do. Take care of the garden. Take care of the animals. Be fruitful and multiply. Do all that stuff. But don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day that you do that, you shall die. But then Adam went and done his thing. Eve, in fact, done it. But let's not blame Eve. Amen. What about a woman and an apple? It's not the apple on the tree that caused the problem. It was the pear on the ground. They disobeyed. And in disobeying, what happened was they went and they started to get knowledge from another source other than God. He's going to start playing in a minute. Whenever they do that, they're telling me time's running out, Pastor. Liven yourself up. Huh? Are you getting this? I know it's a lot of information, but it's really, really cool. Really excites me and interests me. So I'm going to preach this to myself, if necessary. This is important. Why is humanity in such a state? Because originally we were meant to connect with God, the source of life, the source of goodness, the source of power. And we were going to connect with him. And while we were connected with him, then we were living. It's like my iPad being connected by its lead into the plug socket. It can go on and on forever. As long as there's electricity in the mains, my iPad can go on forever. But what Adam and Eve decided to do was disconnect themselves from that source and try and get their power from another source. Some random battery pack that they bought on Amazon or eBay that said it was the real thing, but it was made in China and it was fake. And it likely is going to blow up or it's going to mess up your iPad. It's going to suck power out of it. And it's going to, in the end, it's just going to die and it's going to become a useless piece of plastic and metal fit to be burned. That's what happens to humanity. When you disconnect yourself from the source of life and you connect yourself to another source of knowledge with the promise of the Nakash, the serpent, the snake, saying, "Oh, go and eat of this fruit and then you'll become like God. You'll be immortal. Get your source of knowledge from someone else and then you'll be immortal." They were immortal anyway. Here we go. Huh? But as soon as they did that, they began to die. But all of a sudden, they began to die. People have had a problem with that. How comes God is not merciful enough that he should allow that? You know, why did they begin to die? They began to die because of they disconnected themselves from the source. Weren't God's doing. God said, if you disconnect yourself from the source, you're going to die. They didn't die straight away, just as your iPad or your iPhone or your Android device don't die straight away. But it will die if it ain't plugged in to the right source. God gave them a covering. Helped them out. So why did Jesus come? Jesus had to be born. See, what happened then was all of that stuff was passed down from Adam to his son, and from his son to his son, and from his son to his son, and from his son to his son. And this iPad can't reconnect itself. It can't just get up and decide one day, you know what, I'm going to plug myself in. And that's the same with humanity. Humanity can't decide to plug itself in. We haven't got the capacity because that connection was broken. But when Jesus was born, he was born to a virgin without a human father. See, the only thing that can help, the only thing that could help humanity get back to its place, to pay the price, was another human that hadn't defied and denied and disobeyed God. It had to be perfect. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. It had to be made. But there was no perfect sacrifice to be made because every man born with a father and every woman born with a father had sin in them. And two sins equal death. Jesus was born without a father. That means he was born without sin. Are you with me? That means that he could grow up, and if he didn't sin growing up, then he would be found perfect at the end, and he could pay the perfect sacrifice for sin, in a nutshell. I'm trying to abbreviate some really, really good stuff now because time's running out. And then as the God-man, both fully God and fully man, Jesus could become the antidote to the disease called sin, with his rebellion, disobedience, and his perfect life could reset reality. In his own words, Jesus declared why he came. He said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you've been disconnected. Maybe you're operating on your own power and you get away with it for a while. But then eventually when we die and everyone dies, the virus is in us. Useless, no good, can't be restarted, can't be reconnected, can't be redone, it's too late now. Maybe you're lost, man. Maybe you've had doors shut on you. You don't know why. Maybe something's happened that's gone against where it is that you thought that you should be. Maybe some things have happened in your life that you don't understand. Maybe you've had to move from a place where you wanted to be to a place where you are right now and you don't know why. It was outside of your strength and outside of your will. You didn't want to do it. You didn't want to go there. You're in a place right now where you don't understand why you're there. But could it be God's perfect plan? If he had to get Mary and Joseph from a place, if he had to get himself into them in a way, if he had to be born in such a way, in such a place, at such a time, that was perfect, so that his perfect plan could come about. Maybe you're in that place. You just don't understand why it is that you're in the place that you're in. Maybe your journey up to this point has felt very different to how you think others' journey's been. Maybe you look around at other people and think, how comes their journey's perfect? How comes my journey's not been perfect? How comes this went wrong? And how comes that goes wrong? It might be that you are in the perfect plan of God. It don't have to look the same way as everyone else. You just have to be where God wants you to be. Maybe today the pieces of the puzzle are going to come together and you realize why you're where you're at. Why these things have happened. And the thing is this. God is right there with you. Maybe you ain't got no money this Christmas. There's been Christmases I ain't had no money. Maybe you're not in a place that you want to be far from family. Every Christmas I'm far from family. I have my own family now, but before that my family were in London. And we were up here on the mission field. Huh? But God will put you in a perfect place. He will surround you with the perfect people. They will begin to tell you, listen, you're in the right place. Doors will begin to open up for you. The right people will be coming. Wise men will come and they'll get around you and they'll start giving you gifts and they'll start pouring into you and they'll start sowing into you. You'll be in a place that is perfect for the plan of God for your life. There'll be people around you that are perfect and you'll be in that place because God has a perfect plan. Because if he had a perfect plan for Jesus coming, then he has a perfect plan for you. Today, God has a message for you this Christmas. This is what I believe from the Lord. He wants you to be in the perfect place. He has a perfect place for you, a perfect plan for you. It might not be where you think it is, but people will witness it. People will tell you. People will recognize it. People will be with you. And then from that, doors will open up for you. And I believe that coming forward from this place, you will see the things that Jesus paid the price for you to get and become come true. I believe that 2018 is the time when dreams are going to come true for people in this church. People that love God, dreams are going to come true. Prayers that you've sown are going to be reaped. People that you've prayed for are going to come. Things that you've hoped for are going to happen. If you're in the perfect plan of God, if you say, you know what, God, I trust you. Mary had to trust him. Imagine what Joseph's going to think. Imagine what everyone else in the village is going to think. Trust me, Mary, I got a plan. Joseph needed to trust God. Imagine what people are going to think of me. They're going to think of her. Imagine what's going to happen. Trust me, Joseph. The angels trusted God to come to a little place in a village that was obscure and nowhere to speak to people, not to kings and government officials, but to shepherds in a sheepfield. But they came with their message. The shepherds had to trust God that they were going to go and see this baby that was going to become the king of Israel, the savior of the universe. They had to trust God. And all God's saying to you today is trust me. Trust my will. Trust my path. Trust my plan. Trust your sons and daughters to me. Trust your life to me. Trust your future to me. And my plan will be perfected. And one day you're going to see the outcome that I have always wanted for you. The gift is given. And when you open it, when you value it, you're going to enjoy it. And the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Stand with me right now. Just lift up your hands. We're going to sing that song, Let Us Adore Him. Let's sing that Come Let Us Adore Him song. This Christmas, man, forget about what you don't have. Forget about where you're not. Forget about who's not with you. And start to remember and thank God that the place that you're at, if He has brought you here into this place is perfect. I'm not just talking about this church, I'm talking about this place in your life, wherever it is perfect. Other doors have been shut, doors of comfort, doors of usuality, doors of normality. But there is a door that was opened up and it was the perfect place. You're going to be surrounded by perfect people. They're going to give you a perfect witness. Wise people are going to begin to speak to you and say, listen, I recognize that in your life something good is going to take place. And when you trust them with that, wow, amazing things are going to take place. And it's all because Jesus is the perfect plan of God for everyone's life. Lift up your hands and just worship Him. If you're in that place right now, start to thank Him. I trust you. Start to tell Him, I thank you. I trust you. I trust you. Connect me back to the source of life. You might be in this place and you might not know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior. Adore Him today and say, Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my friend. My way has led me this way, but your way leads me to the place where my destiny is going to be found, where dignity can be found, where I will have belonging, where people surround me, encourage me, help me, show me the way, so that my destination is going to be with God for eternity. Living in a walking on streets of solid gold, living in a land where you never grow old, where there's no sickness, there's no worry, there's no death, there's no pain. That is eternal life, lived with God, where there is perfect purpose, understanding, where you know your identity. Right now, just trust Him. Lift up your hands. Begin to adore Him in this place. Begin to worship Him in this place. Come on.
To find out more about us, go to www.vomanchester.org and feel free to come and visit us every Sunday at our 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. services. See you soon.